In the holy name of Jesus, who is coming back again for you, dear saints, amen.
Amen.
We especially consider these words where our Lord Jesus in the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 24 says, "When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house, and let the one who is in his field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath." Dear saints, beginning last week, a absolutely horrifying wildfire ravaged through north central California. As of yesterday, 71 have already been found dead. More than 1,000 are still missing, and hundreds of thousands of people have been displaced from their homes. One of our local pastors, Jeff Ware, from All Saints down in Charlotte, and his wife, Alicia, have family in Paradise, California. If you've seen the pictures of Paradise, they are awful. The town is hardly anything but ashes at this point in time. Alicia's brother is an LCMS pastor, and he has also a daycare in Paradise, California, connected with the church. He lives there with his wife and his kids and congregation. Their family is safe, but not all the congregation members are. And some families connected with the daycare are also not accounted for. Paradise, California was a retirement community. You can kind of begin to think about what all that means. The fire came fast. Not all could get out fast. The fire came not as fast as lightning comes from the east and shines as far to the west, but it came fast. Those who got out fast could, but those, not everybody can. There are certain groups that are prone to not being able to move fast. Jesus says in our gospel reading, "Alas for women who are pregnant, those who are nursing infants in those days." It's a reference to when the armies are attacking Jerusalem, and there are ones who need to get out fast. And pregnant women and those with nursing infants cannot get out fast. Many of you would not be able to get out fast. I know my family, with all the little ones, would not be able to get out fast. The fire destroyed most everything. The church building is gone. The pastor's house and all the congregation members' houses are gone as well. Lord, have mercy. It's been reported from them, and it's been reported from all over the news, that when the fire was starting to get nearer, they knew exactly what to do. They grabbed their families, and they left as quickly as they could to find a safe spot. The fire at that point in time shaped their priorities. It clarified their priorities. Their stuff. Who cares about stuff when there's a fire? You grab the wife, you grab the kids, you grab mom and dad and the neighbor and the kids from the daycare, and who cares if there are kids anyway? They're the ones that matter. You grow, you go, and you grab, and you get out as soon as you can and find yourself a safe spot. It changed their priorities. Jesus in our gospel text is teaching three separate things, but they're all connected together. It's like a goulash of teachings. It's all mixed in one big pot, but they're three different things. And it's helpful to understand that these are three different things, even though they're all connected to each other. Jesus is teaching, number one, about the destruction of the temple and the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. This is going to happen about 40 years after Jesus' death. You see, that's our text began. "Look at this huge, magnificent building," the disciples said, and Jesus says, "Not one stone will be left upon another." He's teaching about the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. Number two, he's teaching about the end of the world. He connects them. This, of course, has not yet happened, but he's coming back again, and soon. And the third thing he's teaching about is he is teaching about his death. This is the central point of your life. And it is the central point of human history, whether all of humans acknowledge this or not. It is the central aspect of it. And these three things, the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the world, and Jesus' death, they are all judgments. And when you begin to hear about God's judgments, this again shapes your priorities. There was the judgment of Jerusalem because of the Jews' predominant rejection of the Messiah. There is the judgment of the world that will be destroyed by fire as a result of the fall into sin of Adam and Eve's rejection of God and of all sins in thought, word, and deed that is showing us rejecting our Lord that has been committed since. These are judgments that focus on God's wrath on human beings. But then there is also the cross of Christ, which if you don't see this as a judgment, then you're missing. It is a judgment of Jesus for everything that you have ever said and everything that you have ever done or left undone. It is a judgment so that you don't bear it. Jesus takes on your sin and the sin of the world and of the sin of Adam and Eve, and he is judged and he is condemned and he is rejected by God so that you might have peace and hear the promise that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ, that you are accepted by God right now, that you can come into his presence, that you can hear his holy word, that you can taste and see that the Lord is good, that you can stand before God today, and that you can stand before God on judgment day. This news, above all things for the Christian, the knowledge and peace that comes from the judgment that you are not guilty, but righteous in God's sight because of the death and judgment of Jesus on the cross, it changes your priorities. One of the most written about passages by Bible scholars, one of the most debated passages, is this strange little reference that Jesus says, "So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place." And I don't know if I have the right interpretation, but I know I'm not alone with this one. For Christian pastors and Christians of history that especially see our Lord Jesus Christ at the center of the Bible and at the center of everything in the world. And Jesus himself says this. You say, you search the scriptures, but in them they bear witness to me. Or right after Jesus' resurrection, he's going to say he went through Moses and the prophets and testified to all the things concerning himself. That if Jesus is at the center of everything, then it is likely that this passage at the center has Jesus' death, especially for us. It has something that is an abomination, that is something that God abhors, something that God hates. And it is standing in the holy place. And Christian pastors have used this to teach what Jesus does for us, that he has taken on our sin, and he himself is the temple of God. He himself is God, and so that there is something in the Most Holy One that God himself hates, that God himself abhors, and that is your sin, and that is my sin, that Jesus took on the sin, he went to God, and he said, "Do with me the way that you do with things that deserve." and Jesus was judged for it. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus said, into your hands I commend my spirit with all of our filth and all of our shame and all of our ugliness. And the Lord judged him for that so that you could be redeemed and declared righteous and come into God's presence, not bearing the abomination that is your sin, but instead being clothed in Christ. You know, as a Christian, that this is the center aspect of human history and the center of the church's preaching. And so you did something today. You made being here a priority in the fellowship hall. We said, let's not cancel church. Let's bring church over here. Jesus' word, his body, his blood, his songs, his hymns, his spiritual songs gathered right here. You made being here a priority. You all have so much going on in your life. I know a little bit about some of you. So much. So much going on in your families, so much going on in your own bodies, so much going on in your work. But this, dear saints, you have gathered. You have made this a priority to be here. And what is amazing and what is so wonderful is that when you make being here a priority, then our Lord then helps you see what your priorities truly are after you've gotten here. All that stuff, that's nothing compared to the wonderful forgiveness and life and salvation that you have going on right now. Like the ones who were in the fire, they grabbed their parents, they grabbed their sister, they grabbed their brother, they grabbed the children, and they got here, and you all have done that. Some of you grabbed children that you didn't birth, but you grabbed them and you got here because you knew that it was important that you hear there is no condemnation for those who are in the safe spot, who are in Christ. Into your hands I commit my spirit, our entrance psalm said. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Priorities change. Our Lord preaches to you, he's coming back again. And everything is going to be all right. Your stuff, yeah. Family problems, it'll come to an end. Your health, you're dying anyway, and Jesus is going to raise you back up. Resentment and bitterness that you thought was important for you to hold on, he's the judge. Let him be the avenger, and let him also show mercy to the one he shows mercy to. God, help you see stuff clearer, your family clearer, your health, the silliness of what we so often think is our priorities a little bit clearer. We are so easily deceived by our sinful nature. We are so easily deceived by the world and the devil because Jesus has not yet come back. The reading that Miss Kay read this morning from Exodus chapter 34, the people had just been through the Red Sea. They had just been rescued. The Lord had just done miracles and signs and wonders upon them. And Moses goes up the mountain, and the text says, and when they saw that he was delayed, they started to worship false gods. If anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe it, Jesus says. False Christs, false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Gather around his voice, he tells you beforehand. You don't have to go out to him, for he has come to you. You are his elect. You are his gathered. No one can take you out of the Father's hands. You are his sheep. You hear his voice, so listen to him. Trust his words, not what you see. There's great signs and great wonders. Some things that horrify us, other things that astound us. But you don't trust that. You let the reader understand. You trust what you're reading in the Bible. You trust what you are hearing before him from the Lord. He is coming back again. The one who died upon the cross when you were lost is the one who is coming back to get you. God help you to see you and your life and your suffering and your days a little more clear. God help you live lives and days worthy of the calling to which you have been called as people of hope. For days could be the end of the world. For these days could be the end of your life. Or these days could simply be the call again to live in faith and hope and love. If we lose our homes, if we lose our stuff, if we lose some of our health or our friends or family or even our lives, we know that when he comes, he's going to make everything all right and all will be accounted for. All things will be safe. We'll be with Christ. Encourage one another with these words. In Jesus' name, amen.